That's what the mandate is for, pre-feasibility study. And I'm hoping that I do the plan somehow, that going to feasibility is very short period of time right after that.
Good day, everybody. Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks, and I have with me someone from WVU Gold, President and CEO Farshad Shirvani. How are you, Farshad?
Hi, thank you for having me here. I'm doing very well. How about you?
Not bad at all. For our listeners, Farshad, if you can give us a, you know, the quick WVU Gold, just if you can give us where you're trading, your website, your ticker, and then I'd love to talk to you about the company.
Yes. The website is www.wvu.ca, and our company is in Canada, trading on TSX Venture under the symbol DBG, and on OTCQX under the symbol DBLVF. And our project is in British Columbia, Northern British Columbia, and the project type is a porphyry deposit with copper, gold, silver, and great amount of cobalt, and perhaps the largest scandium deposit in the world.
Farshad, for those who don't know much about HAT, if you can just kind of tell us a little bit about the jurisdiction and as well as the place itself. You're, I think, in a pretty significant area there. If you can kind of give us the rundown of what drew you to that property.
Yes. So what led me to that property was basically the study that I did personally on the porphyry deposits in Canada and BC. And I started staking ground, and this one was the only one I didn't have it. I had to buy it. And it happened that the person was my geologist, and I bought it from him, and I went there. There was no drill holes on it. Just the address was absolutely right. It's located in the Golden Triangle, the northern limb of Golden Triangle, what we call the Golden Triangle. And it covers all the deposits in that area. It's actually a terrain. Terrain is a part of the ground that in this subduction and the ground coming open, they come together like a big piece together like this. And all the projects in that area that they carry gold, copper, silver, and all the minerals are located on that. There's no actually triangle. Triangle is a beautiful name. That's why it's been used. And that's how we found it. Yes, at the corner of that, I knew you have to be on one side of this terrain, which is called a Stikinia terrain. And by the way, I didn't introduce myself the way technically I should introduce myself. I'm a geology, master's degree in geology, and I've got more than 30 years experience in exploration and mining activities. Not all of it in mining, but mining exploration, all of it. That's how I landed there. And the way I got attracted to this was was the first day that we went there, the helicopter pilot told me, hey, listen, if you want me to land here again, I cannot have these dead trees here. You have to take them out. They were about 5 inches in thickness or less. So, and for the first time in my life, I started using chainsaw. And he left, and I was alone. I cut those 3 trees and dropped them. With the difficulty, of course, and thank God I didn't cut myself. And I looked at it when it was a poplar trees. Normally the roots are really going deep. And when I looked at the tree trunk where I cut it, it was completely green and dead because of that copper coming into the body of the tree. Then I said, God, this is where I want to be. And that was my first interaction with the location. What else do you need? You know, 3 trees cut and all are dead because of copper. And I said, okay, we are in the right address. We haven't drilled that location yet because we build our camp there.
So you, what have you done so far? You said you built your camp. You've done a resource in PEA. Is that correct?
Yes. So the story started from there. And at some point, we started drilling until we learned how the deposit is working. It took us 8 holes to find out how the deposit is working. Using IP, then later on 3D IP, we found out where to drill and where to go. And that's how we worked on that project. And right now we developed it to a stage that we had our first PEA reported, including inferred, indicated, and measured. Now we have 1.1 billion tons of deposit, and it has a minerals that keep growing right now. More to it, hopefully, but it has to go through metallurgy that we are working on, and it could be gallium, platinum group metals, I say potentially, because we have to identify it. That's what we're working on. In the meantime, we are drilling. And what is the purpose of this drilling? Is to expand and extend the deposit. Our evaluation is being done only on measured and indicated, not the inferred. So the practice is to drill more into the inferred area, add it to the measured and indicated, only grow it bigger. And the other thing is, when you expand the volume, we find new places to add to this deposit volume. That's our practice. We have been successful in expanding the deposit throughout the years because our blueprint is beautiful. We have 3D IP now, we have a mineralization trend, and we have many information. I never had it at the beginning. And another news is, first time I haven't been on the drilling project myself yet. Every time I was on the project, and I was in the camp for the whole time drilling. I have very good geologists now, and they work every day with me to make sure we go in the right direction. By the way, we are going to...
So, Farshad, so you say you're doing pre-feasibility study next?
We are right now working on pre-feasibility study. We have extensive program this year. That's how what takes my huge time from me. So I'm talking to many engineers from engineering departments, and they are working day and night to do many things, like going back to the root, everything, environmental studies, going wildlife studies that we've done it before, that we are extending now. That's what the mandate is for pre-feasibility study. And I'm hoping that I do the plan somehow, that going to feasibility is very short period of time right after that.
So, Farshad, how big is your project? I mean, if you can talk about the land size, you can talk about any sort of, you know, grade that you're, you know, if you can tell us about the magnitude as well as the grade and the potential we're talking about here.
Yes, we're talking about 3 million ounces gold at this stage, which I hope it grows exponentially. We have 4.8 billion pounds of copper. We have 18 million pounds of cobalt, and we have enormous amount of scandium. Scandium on our project has no, we haven't found a limit. Wherever we drill, our first thing comes up is scandium. That's constant over every drilling we have done so far than we have the assays for. It's enormous. And the land package that we have is 13,800 hectares, give or take, which is a massive land package. About our property is the only property in Golden Triangle that has established road access to it with 9 kilometers distance, easy access. No one has that anywhere. I don't know if you've been to British Columbia. British Columbia is a pretty rugged country. Our project is flat as you can get. I don't know if you've been, for instance, to LA or to Ontario, Toronto. It's flat, flat, flat. It's not like that to be up and down. We have water pretty very well. We have labor force about 40 kilometers away. They are all educated, they are best, the best people to go to work, and this is the only project in that area that they can hang their hat on and go to work. Go to work in the morning, come back home in the evening. That's that kind. And those are the labor force we're gonna be using. They already go about 120 kilometers away to go to work. 180 kilometers, sorry, to go to work. Now they're not gonna go that far. And we have all what it takes that a project needs. And also our project, yes, the electrical power has to come from 100 kilometers away. By the way, 100 kilometers in our terms is not much. It's high power, power coming to the project. Plus, we have developed a method that we get from the cobalt and the roaster, we generate power. About 25% of our power is going to be generated from our own invention in the work. It's not invention, I shouldn't say that, because the knowledge has been out there before. But there is another thing, that our scandium production method uses acid generated from the deposit. So we are the most environmentally mining operation basically in the copper industry in that area, and we use that. So live off the land. We generate acid, we use it for scandium.
So Farshad, sounds like what I'm hearing you say is that you've got the geology, you know, you got a very friendly mining friendly jurisdiction. If you can, first of all, tell me a little bit more about your relationship to First Nations. And then it sounds also that you've also got a lot of access to roads, to water, and you got a huge potential. But love to kind of hear you talk about the, how you're navigating the area in terms of First Nations. And that's a hiccup or a hurdle. And how you, and then also permitting, how long does that take? And what's the... geographically, what's the maybe sticking point or misunderstanding that people might not be realizing?
Yes, the right now BC is going through a movement. Through this movement, we're gonna go into a land use plan agreement between the government of Tahltan and the government of BC. We are permitted, we have the permit, and we will see in next year or so how these shifts are gonna happen. I'm holding my hopes high that, because this project is very important, it's in the national security level of Canada to take care of this project. No other project has a scandium, no other project has, yes, there are little scandium in Quebec,
yeah,
but not this much. And cobalt, no other cobalt is this size, we're gonna even grow it. So we are, my take on it is, we will see how it's gonna go. I'm sure British Columbia needs this project, like, greatly. The First Nations need this project, because I've had a meeting with an elder and he said, you know, no other project ever gave it to Telegraph Creek. They never gave a benefit to the Telegraph Creek. I told him, who's better than me? I'm talking about a week ago meeting. And so we are sitting in that zone that BC is working on it. And we'll see. Of course, that has to be done first, which is the last thing. And that's approval from the First Nations.
So, Farshad, if you can tell me a little bit, let's go to the financials. If you can give us your balance sheet, how much you have in the bank, how long that takes you, and then if you can give us your share structure breakdown.
Okay, we have 239 million shares. I have fully diluted 33 million shares myself, which makes about 15-16% of the shares of the company. I'm the largest shareholder of the company. And believe it or not, I have paid a lot of taxes and throughout the years to collect all these shares. And I'm the avid follower of the company myself. And we have $13.5 million in the bank. And for this season, we are fine to run our metallurgy and PFS, but for the next run, now we have to go big.
So it sounds to me that you're hearing that you're the one of the best kept secrets. is the plan? What's the plan to get institution interest? Do you have any now? Do you have any other major shareholders besides yourself that you can share? And then what percentage of the share structure is insiders and institutions?
Okay, insiders and institutions, I can just go from off the top of my head. One large shareholder from Alberta has got about 11 million shares. One large shareholder whose institution and is from New York, he is a friendly fire. I love him, he's always with us. He's got about 15 million shares. Sometimes he says, Farshad, I'm approaching your shares, and I'm getting there. And we have maybe in one of the, so the 33 plus 11 plus 15, and I have one shareholder from a previous manager of Grasberg. That's a big statement. That's one of the largest copper and gold production in Indonesia. He is a shareholder since the beginning, and beginning of this company. And he was in the discovery of Grasberg. And I'm so proud that he's my shareholder, and still our shareholder, and always following. And he's got, I don't know how many, but I think he's got about 8 million shares. And he's had it at 20 cents, or at 5 cents, 6 cents, 10 cents, 12 cents, 15 cents. And that's what his, you know, share structure is. And we have a group of people from Alberta, collectively they have about 30 million shares, all of them together. So we have a tight structure.
Yeah.
That's why we are a little bit, right now, I've got a lot of followers, a lot of supporters from those areas, and all the shareholders I spoke with you about.
Farshad, what's your market cap? And I'm sure that you don't think you're valued where you should be. I'd love to know where you think you should be, if you give me those two numbers, and love to understand where you think the discrepancy is coming from.
Yes, we are between $470 million Canadian to $500 million Canadian, which is more than half a billion. We've been as high as half a billion dollars US, our market cap. And the reason, I believe there are many factors playing this game, is market fluctuation because of several events happening in the world right now that affect the market. That's one of the things.
Farshad, I'd love to get your just one last question for you. If I guess for me, I want to know, you seem to check a lot of boxes. What box are you missing? And what are people misunderstanding about your story? And love to get your thoughts on that. And what's the plan to grow?
Okay, what's the plan to grow? One of the things that I'm always missing is I'm trying to be cost effective. We haven't had promotion at all. We don't go out there. Now, having Canaccord that they haven't started yet, we're gonna have analyst reports. That's very important in our turf. Our viewers right now are changing, or expectators are changing from average household consumers of the market to institutional investors and family houses and etc. That's where we have to grow into. And literally, we haven't started that yet. Almost at the end of this month, I'm hiring a person to just contact all the institutional investors, at least let them know we exist, okay? That's, I think, the first action. The second is we're gonna come up with drill hole results in coming 1 month or 2 months. Soon, we're gonna have those. Plus, we're gonna have the start of our next level of pilot plan for metallurgy that we already almost know who we're gonna hire. We had to interview about many, I should say more than two dozens of companies for that metallurgy, because it's getting critical. That, and the other problem we have is we just can't give our process to every Tom, Dick, and Henry, because we spend a lot of money to come up with that scandium cobalt recovery. It was an easy task, but we can't go and patent it too, because then I have to have a lot of money to go fight people who are stealing our methods. And that's another thing. And we have to maneuver into this, and we're gonna have reports on that at the end of the year. Hopefully, we have spoken with our engineering team. I said, hey, listen, what are you gonna do? They are saying, you know, if we do PFS, close it here, we're gonna end up with X tons and X volume and X dollars and whatever, X, Y, Z dollars and etc. And I said, what if you end it next year? And they go, okay, we're gonna have interim report is not the final PFS, but it's gonna be almost between PFS and FS.
Yeah. Farshad, I thank you for the introduction to WVU Gold. I'm hoping that, again, I'm not giving investment advice here. This is my second time speaking with Farshad, and I'm learning about WVU Gold alongside you, but I'm hoping that WVU Gold story gets out and at least people get to know about it and to ask you questions if they have any. For those who are looking to possibly invest, Farshad, if you can give us your website, your ticker, where you're trading one more time for us.
Yes, our website is www.wvu.ca, and our ticker on TSX Venture is DBG, David Bravo George, and OTCQX is DBLVF, and we are good active trading company, and I like the way it goes, and I hope we come up with news releases soon to say what we are doing. We haven't given update for long, and we're gonna have updates soon.
For sure, I look forward to following your story. For our listeners, again, I am not currently an investor, although that may change. And WVU Gold, Farshad, are not paying for this interview. Please do your due diligence. Reach out to Farshad. Follow his story. Follow the ticker. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Farshad, thanks for the introduction.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for having me here. And if anyone has a question, they can email us to contact@wvu.ca.
All right. Thanks, Farshad. Bye.
Thank you.